The popularity of the Netflix true crime series Making a Murderer has brought a lot of attention to how evidence is used in court.
There isn't one iota of physical evidence in this case that connects Stephen Avery to it.
It goes beyond the Netflix series. This month, the National Commission on Forensic Science may ask the Justice Department to reevaluate the standards for forensic evidence, like matching hair, bite marks, and tire treads, because they say they're not scientifically sound. We're joined by Peter Neufeld, who's a member of the National Commission on Forensic Science. He's also a co-founder of the Innocence Project. And Peter, the FBI has acknowledged it's had major flaws with its hair matching techniques. But let's be clear about what that means. When we're talking about hair matching, we are not talking about a DNA test.
No, we're not talking about a DNA test. We're talking about, though, a technology which the FBI and state and local crime laboratories across the country have relied upon to associate an accused to a piece of crime scene evidence for the last 40 years by looking at hairs under a microscope that they find at a crime scene and comparing them to a defendant's hair. And it turns out that for 30 or 40 years, they were exaggerating the probative value of those similarities such that I would say a quarter of all the DNA exoneration cases, the people were originally convicted in part based on crime lab people coming in and saying the hairs matched.
So they're looking under a microscope to see physically, like if they can actually see a difference or a match in the hair. They're not using DNA because I assume 30 or 40 years ago the technology wasn't there?
That's correct, but they continued to do it 10 years ago and 20 years ago. And frankly, in some jurisdictions in the United States, they continue to use the microscope because doing DNA testing on hair is relatively expensive.
Well, the Washington Post has been covering the story. It points out that a federal review of convictions that include FBI hair matching found errors in more than 1,300 cases. But it's not just hair matching. There are also questions about other things that we see sometimes in on a crime scene or on a victim. A bite mark, for instance. Are bite marks reliable?
With bite marks, they don't even have a means of determining whether or not the impression left in the skin is that similar to the impression of an accused. And the problem is that skin, as you know, moves. So let's say, you bit me in five different places, and two of those times I was stationary and three times I was twisting my body. None of those impressions would look similar. The details in the bite mark are more often than not so few that when you say that it's consistent with this particular suspect, well, it may be consistent, but it might be consistent with thousands or tens of thousands of other men.
But I'm sure there are many good investigators out there who have spent their careers doing this sort of work who might examine a bite mark or a footprint and say that the work is sound, that it could be a useful tool, that if it's used in a case to build on other evidence, then it shouldn't be so easily dismissed.
Science is science, okay? Either you have the data that supports your conclusion or you have a hunch. It's that simple. And unfortunately, a lot of these people who were had the best intentions, nevertheless, lack scientific rigor, and they would offer conclusions that were simply not supported by science. But because they were well-intentioned and because they had done it for 20 years, juries believed them.
You say DNA is a gold standard. Is it as rock solid as we think it is?
Well, you know, nothing is completely rock solid that involves human beings conducting a test. There's always the potential for human error, but certainly DNA, unlike many of these other disciplines, had a long history in medicine ever before it was used in criminal justice. And with that kind of background, it made it much easier to have reliable DNA testing for crime scenes. Not so with those other disciplines, which were never developed for medicine, were developed by law enforcement for law enforcement.
And yet it's powerful evidence in a courtroom, or at least has been historically.
Well, it has been powerful evidence in the courtroom. I think finally people are waking up to the fact that just because someone says it's so doesn't mean it's so. I mean, listen, we've already had 24 people, some of whom were sentenced to death, where the main piece of evidence associating them was a bite mark, only to be cleared later on by DNA.
But even if there is a flaw, that doesn't mean the person isn't guilty.
No. Of course, if there's a flaw and the technology is not scientific, it doesn't mean the person didn't commit the crime. What it means is that that piece of evidence is irrelevant. The problem is that very often the other types of evidence may be things like an eyewitness identification. Well, 75% of our wrongful convictions involved misidentifications. So you got a problem. So what you want to do in the criminal justice system is ultimately develop the most scientifically rigorous, reliable methods so we can all get to the truth and victims can be more satisfied, defendants can be more satisfied, and the public can rest assured that we reach the right result.
Peter Neufeld is the co-founder and co-director of the Innocence Project. He's also a member of the National Commission on Forensic Science. Peter, thank you very much.
You're welcome.